Hey, this is Austin Rolater, and I want to tell you about Red Pine Radio. Red Pine Radio is a community radio project run by IPR. I got my start in Red Pine, Maxwell Howard came through Red Pine as well, and this spring, you have an opportunity to get started in it too. We're teaching a workshop at Green Door Folk School in Cedar. It's called Radio Boot Camp. The dates are May 30th and 31st. Spots are limited, so sign up at greendoorfolkschool.com.
This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Today, a couple of stories about representation. One, literal representation in the state senate in the 35th district. We will explain why an election in Saginaw Bay is so important to the whole state. Also, representation in music. IPR's Isabel Lee has a new podcast out about just that. We'll talk with her as well. Let's get started with some Up North headlines. The first commercial flights in several weeks are expected to arrive at Pelston Regional Airport today. Writing on Facebook, the airport says it is opening back up following the floods 3 weeks ago. The airport says its main runway is open, a secondary runway remaining closed while water continues to recede. Five pumps are running around the clock to get water away from that runway's safety area. Delta and United both serve Pelston, with United's seasonal route scheduled to begin on May 21st. In Traverse City, the Sarah Hardy Farmers Market is back open for the season, bringing local produce and businesses to downtown. This could also be the first year that the farmers market gets to operate under a new pavilion. The City Commission approved contracts for a multi-million dollar construction project there last night. IPR's Vivian Law has that story.
The market will move to Rotary Square from its usual downtown parking lot once construction begins in July. The new covered shed will bring electricity and running water to the market, which sits between the Borman River and the busy East Grandview Parkway. Harry Burkholder is executive director of Traverse City's Downtown Development Authority.
We're really excited about the way that it touches all of Traverse City and the region. And just to have, a cover from the elements, which we have every season, is just a really nice way to provide a world-class market for our growers.
Burkholder says he hopes to have one or two markets under the new pavilion before the season ends in the fall. The farmers market is open from 7:30 to noon on Saturdays and Wednesdays from 8 to noon starting in June. For IPR News, I'm Vivian Law.
Six farms in northern Michigan are getting grant money from the state. The Ticker reports on the latest round of grants totaling more than $2 million in our region. Among the awardees, Wunsch Farms in Traverse City, which is getting $475,000 for cold storage, packaging, and other safety improvements. Nine Bean Rows in Sutton's Bay, they're getting more than $163,000 for a milling facility. Burnett Foods in East Jordan is improving its wastewater system with a $475,000 grant. Voters in the Saginaw Bay region will select a new state senator today. And, you know, the Saginaw Bay region, not really near northern Michigan, but this highly watched race is going to have a major impact on us and all Michiganders because it could shift the balance of the state Senate for the rest of the year. WCMU's A.J. Jones explains.
The Democratic Party has a one-seat majority in the state Senate. A win for the GOP would leave the chamber tied. Republicans nominated political newcomer Jason Tunney, a Saginaw Township businessman and lawyer. At an event in Midland this March, he says, if elected, he would focus on tax reform.
We need property tax breaks all over this district, all over this state. We need to do something about the income tax. Remember when we had a 4% income tax?
Democrat Shedrick Green is also a newcomer and a retired sergeant major in the Marines. He's focused his campaign on national issues like affordability.
Because I've been through those challenges. I've been through assistance. I've come up and grown, and I want to give back.
Experts say the race will be a good temperature check on the electorate ahead of the November midterms. If the race is close, Libertarian Ali Sleds may play an outsized role. I'm A.J. Jones.
May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month here in the U.S., recognizing contributions of Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and other Pacific Islander Americans. To celebrate that, IPR has launched a month-long series profiling Asian American and Pacific Islander artists of Interlaken. The series is hosted and produced by classical IPR fellow Isabel Lee, who joins me now.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm delighted that you're here to talk about this because I think this is a really cool idea. Give us a little bit more detail about what I just said in the introduction, because this is profiling the work of people who have some connection to Interlaken, whether they're here now or once were.
Yes, yes.
I don't want to steal your thunder at all, but can you give us an example of like one person whose work you're highlighting that we'll hear from?
Well, so for example, the Korean-American pianist Soyeon Kate Lee attended Interlaken Arts Academy in the 1990s, and she went on to win a bunch of international piano competitions. She graduated from Juilliard, her bachelor's and master's, and also became the first woman of Asian descent on the piano faculty at Juilliard, and that's a major contribution.
So we get to hear about them and then hear a little bit of them actually performing or some of their work being performed.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Why was it important to you to do this?
This has been an interest of mine for quite a few years now. So I'm Chinese American. I grew up in the Los Angeles area where growing up, I played violin since I was four. I actually hated playing violin until I joined orchestra in fourth grade. Like I grew up in a majority Asian community and neighborhood.
In Southern California, in Los Angeles.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. And so it makes sense that, you know, given that my high school is 60% Asian, that my orchestra was also very, very majority Asian. But that was also true when I went to college. And when I, you know, realized that like I was part of maybe 30 or 20% of the Asians in my college, but still the orchestra was about 60% Asian. I began to wonder, why are there so many Asians in classical music, Asian Americans, for example, but there's very little recognition in, for example, classical music films. Hmm. If you see films such as Tar or Amadeus, very understandably, a lot of these films highlight European composers, Mozart, you know, and Beethoven, for example, in some of those films. And Tar, if you've watched Tar, also based in Europe, features white musicians, understandably because classical music originated from Europe. But in my experience playing in orchestras, it's really fascinating how we have these young Asians playing music by 19th century, 18th century white men. And so even though that music is composed by, you know, white men from the 19th century, it still brings people together, people of all different backgrounds and all different identity groups.
Last question, Isabel, and I think I can deduce the answer from the way you've responded to the earlier questions. Mm-hmm. Did you have fun doing this?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's a passion project of mine. You know, like I always have wanted to give more visibility to this identity group, being able to not only be one of the voices on classical IPR, but make this podcast series to make this identity group even more visible in classical music. That's just an honor. It's an honor to be able to do this.
Isabel, this is exciting. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Isabel's podcast is available now. The episode she referenced is out today. You can find it at interlakenpublicradio.org. Speaking of podcasts, and before we go here, IPR was at the Fresh Coast Film Festival this past weekend in Traverse City, and our Points North podcast held a listening party for the latest episode, which is about how to call barred owls. So I want you to picture this. We've got a room full of people who have just heard how to do this. So what else to do but to get them to try it out? IPR's Dan Wanchura led the effort.
One, two, three.
I think that's pretty good, actually. That's the Up North Lowdown. The episode, by the way, available now. Find Points North at pointsnorthpodcast.org or through your favorite podcast app.
Support for Interlaken Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.